How can boards convert sustainability from a wish to a winning reality? Boards have an essential role to play. At a time when companies are facing increasing uncertainty, they need to lean in and embolden management to do what is right for the long-term health of the business, not just deliver on short-term results. Nowhere is this more pertinent than when it comes to the topic of sustainability. So how can board members help make a real difference? In this podcast, I'm delighted to talk with Andrew Hobbs from EY's Center for Board Matters. Andrew is a lawyer by background, and over his 20-year career at professional service organization EY, he held a variety of roles. Most recently, he took on leadership for the EY Center for Board Matters across Europe, the Middle East, India, and Africa, while continuing to serve in his role as public policy leader in the same region. Welcome to the Better Boards podcast series. I'm Sabine Demkowski, founder and managing partner of Better Boards. We make the boards of the most ambitious organizations more effective. Our mission at Better Boards is to contribute to creating better boards. We do this by providing clients with an evidence-based approach for board evaluations and board development programs. Our clients have access to an innovative digital platform they can use for the internal and as part of an external evaluation. To fulfill our mission, we give a voice to all who care about creating better boards. Andrew, fantastic to have you. Thank you so much for making time to contribute to the Better Boards podcast series.
You're very welcome, Sabine. Delighted to be here.
And the topic is the fantastic report you have just put out, where you are exploring how boards can convert sustainability from a wish to really to make it a reality. I was particularly struck by what you wrote about the group of leaders. So let's start on a positive note. What are these leaders doing right and what makes them leaders?
No, sure. It's a good question. And just to sort of step back a bit, the survey represents a polling, if you like, a survey of 200 C-suite or non-executive directors from companies across Europe of various sizes. And the leaders represented just under 25% of our sample. And we identified them by looking at how effective their governance was in three areas. Now, this is self-assessed, admittedly. It was about challenging management on their sustainability plans, exercising board oversight on execution, and progress against sustainability pledges, and engaging with shareholders about sustainability plans and action. And leaders were extremely effective in two or more of those areas I just mentioned. But what was concerning about the research was in less than a quarter of them were completely satisfied that they have clear strategic view backed by credible analysis of how tackling their material ESG priorities would also achieve value creating objectives. And I was quite staggered to see that amongst the non-executive population there, 9 out of 10 were not completely satisfied. So it suggests that there's a significant strategic data information gap at board level. The last thing to say is that there was quite a difference between leaders and followers in the metrics space. So, for example, twice as many leaders said they had metrics, and I'm going to just look at my notes here because it's quite technical. Twice as many had metrics that allowed the board to fulfill its oversight role in capital allocation towards ESG projects. Three times as many had metrics that support effective decision making around capital allocation for ESG and quantifying return on investment. And a staggering five times had metrics that provided insight into the financial consequences of doing those things. So it's quite a difference.
Wow. So metrics is the key here.
Yeah, certainly for good decision making. Yeah, and that's the thing that we were exploring in the rest of the report, which is that do boards really have the information they need about the likely return on investment, not just financial, but other value of sustainability related projects or investments that management would like to make? And the answer seems to be not at the moment.
I mean, there's a lot of talk also that a lot of board members don't even have the know-how to make this, to ask the right questions. Did you find anything on that front?
We have looked at competence and capability in previous reports, but we weren't looking at that specifically. It's a great point. I was having a debate at a conference we were doing yesterday about this topic, and the consensus seemed to be that although many boards are seeking board members with sustainability skills, that actually it isn't about creating a board full of sustainability experts. It's about encouraging boards or giving boards enough training to ask the right questions. Yeah. I mean, at EY, we talk about the importance of better questions, and we suggest that boards need to adopt the same approach as they challenge management to better analyze, if you like, the opportunities and build the business case for sustainability, ensuring that capital is allocated where it needs to be. So I think that point that I was making about saying, well, you know, tell me where you want to invest and tell me what you, how you assess the likely return on investment. And if it's not going to develop a, or generate a financial return in the short term and may cost you money, then other value, would it lead to other benefits, non-financial benefits firstly, or are there ways that we can offset, if you like, that loss through other investments or through other activities in the business? So not just treating it in silos, if you like.
Let me pick out one word from what you said, which is challenge. I have lost count on the number of events I attended in London where everyone is saying the role of a non-executive director is to challenge. And you place real emphasis on boards taking a more active role as a real challenger on that front. But we both know how difficult it is. It's easy to say, but we both know how difficult it really is to challenge constructively, particularly in tense situations. Why are you calling for this again? And what does good look like here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm at risk of sort of repeating myself, but you're absolutely right. I mean, the first thing was what we're not saying. We're not saying that boards need to do the job of management. We're not saying that at all. But if you've got a scenario where you've set a net zero target, for example, and you're behind on progress, then as a board, you should be asking why, and then asking, well, what can we do to correct it? And in doing that is to say, well, come up with some options, please, that shows how we can catch up or make faster progress and what would be the costs and benefits of doing that. And that's the sort of challenge that we're talking about. I mean, I do accept what you're saying about it's easier said than done. I mean, the board agendas are extremely packed, dealing with all sorts of things. And so it is competing for attention in a busy agenda. But if they're serious about this, they need to step up.
Any good advice how they can do this?
Well, as I said, I'm again at risk of repeating myself. I think it's that just getting a bit more demanding on the way that capital allocation decisions or proposals are articulated and made to them so that they have the confidence to say yes.
And I mean, the $1 million question always is, how can companies actually move beyond regulation and reporting to create really long-term value? And what do you think, what role boards can play on that journey?
So we're saying, and this is a good chunk of the report starts looking at this. When I talk to boards, and particularly when I first started talking to boards about sustainability in the context of a lot of what the European Commission was doing in its Green Deal, so a huge slew of regulation, boards would often say, this regulation is like, it's a distraction from us transforming our business. We need to concentrate on developing a sustainable business model. And this regulation just takes time away from that. What we're saying here is that, well, the regulation's here. So how can you not just treat it as a compliance exercise and really embrace it, whether that's taking advantage of incentives where they exist? But there's more compliance or regulation than incentives on offering in Europe as compared to the US. But how can you just go with it and say, well, how can we turn this to our advantage? And I was talking to a group yesterday about it, and we asked them this question, you know, what benefits have you seen, for example, on sustainability reporting? And a number of things came out, and it was music to my ears, because I think it's exactly what you should be doing. They said things like, it's helping us focus our strategy. Mm-hmm. It's improving the integrity of data for decision-making. It's helping us make decisions to become more competitive. So all of that gathering of data and setting up the systems and controls to report is giving boards and companies insights that they didn't previously have. So it's thinking about it that way.
I mean, you just mentioned you in your role, you speak with a lot of board members across industries, across countries. What's the best bit of advice you've heard recently on boards, what they can do to be at the forefront of development?
I suppose a couple of things. And I think the first is, won't surprise you, is just the importance of the role of the chair in proactively setting the agenda on this. I mean, they have so many topics to address. How can you make time for it? And you need a good chair to do that, to make sure it said, no, we are going to concentrate on our sustainability objectives and progress against them and devote proper time to that. The other thing I would say is, and it goes to that question you asked me earlier on about, do boards have the skills? is I'm seeing some quite thoughtful approaches coming from board members about this skills need and realizing that they cannot get all the skills that they need on into the boardroom as directors, formal directors, nor that should they, because a lot of the issues, if you like, are constantly in, say, technology or sustainability are changing all the time. So it's really hard to kind of keep current. So looking for creative ways to get that expertise into the boardroom, you know, whether it be through advisors, whether it be boards accessing managers, you know, below C-suite level, whether it be having observers on committees who aren't board members, and you've got issues around becoming a shadow director, but let's just leave that to one side for a second, whether it be advisory boards. For example, I was talking to one director in making this report who has a technology committee in the company that she runs, and that has members of it, standing members of it, though, who are tech experts who are not members of the board, and they refresh those as well from time to time as needed. So I think that sort of bit about getting expertise into the boardroom to help is quite an interesting area.
Nice keyword, getting expertise in the boardroom at the moment, AI.
Yes.
The buzzword, yeah. Part of so many conversations right now. And your report is touching on this and the potential of AI to create positive sustainability outcomes and accelerate this transformation process. What would you say to boards about the role they need to play on AI and leveraging what it has to offer?
That's a great question. I mean, before I answer it, I think we did think long and hard about whether to put AI or cover AI in this report. I mean, on the one hand, we thought, oh, it's just us jumping on a bandwagon. But the other thing, I stood back and said, actually, if we hadn't have mentioned it, I think people would ask more questions. So the reason that I was particularly interested in it was, and it does have a relevance to the E in ESG, but its role in the S factor. So to answer your question, businesses need to walk the tightrope between growth and governance. So they need a balanced approach to governance that puts a good framework for strong, responsible AI governance around it. But at the same time, need to sort of look at the business opportunities it presents, creating new revenue streams or transforming how work is done. But in the report, there's some, I think, some, an interesting table which sort of shows the kind of opportunities in environmental terms from AI, but also the challenges in environmental terms from AI, and the same with social as well. So it's an interesting area, but they need to make sure that they ask the right questions, including the impact on the workforce, and they need to make sure that the utilization of AI doesn't come at high environmental cost of its own.
I mean, what are you seeing, Andrea? I would be really interested. Yes, we are at this discussion level, but I just observed a board yesterday. It doesn't really have a large part at the moment in the conversations, and I can't really see at this stage that AI is used extensively in boardrooms.
For their own responsibilities, you mean, in terms of how they're using AI to...
For their own responsibilities, or that you think it's used a lot in helping them to cut through the vast amounts of papers they need to read. Yes, it's somewhere there, but it's not really utilized.
No, I'd agree. We did touch on in the report using AI for governance, but I agree with you. We didn't get a lot of, or consistent with what you just said, we didn't get a lot of insight coming from our research that told us how it is being used. I do know that developers are developing tools that can help AI. For example, I was talking to someone yesterday who's developing an AI tool, a small startup that analyzes external data on sustainability matters relating to the company they're trying to sell to boards to use in decision-making. That's just one example. But I agree with you. I'm not seeing, you know, there was talk, wasn't there, of the robo-director a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm not seeing like that just yet, but I'm sure it will come.
No, I have yet to meet a robot in the boardroom. I haven't seen one yet. Fantastic, Andrew. I mean, sadly, we have to come to an end. And I always ask this very tricky question at the end. What are the three things our listeners should take away from our conversation?
Okay, yeah, three things. And in some cases, I'm sort of repeating and reinforcing what I said earlier. So the first thing is about carving out time for focus on the long term and the future, and, you know, not neglecting that in dealing with what's here right now. They can play a good role in that. Then that this question of challenge, I know it's an overused word, but it's the really being more demanding of management in terms of producing the business cases for capital allocation towards pursuit of sustainability objectives. I'm kind of assuming that sustainability has been integrated into the strategy in the first place, but if you haven't done that, then that's another thing that board should put on their to-do list. And then the third thing, I think, is about linking reporting of information to a stronger long-term value narrative for investors. The capital is there to invest investors just need comfort in metrics which go beyond pure financial. For example, I was talking to a chemical company a couple of days ago, and they were saying that actually the first thing that their investors ask them about their sustainability strategy is, what's the effect on the portfolio? And by that, they mean, how are you making your products and services more sustainable? They're less interested. They're still interested in the sort of decarbonization, for example, of the operations. But that's the first thing they're asking is the kind of, how are your products adapting to help achieve wider sustainability objectives? For example, chemicals that go into road surfacing that lasts twice as long, so you use less of it, for example. Yeah, so those are my three things.
Fantastic. Andrew, thank you so, so much for making time for us. Thank you for contributing to the Better Boards podcast series.
You're very welcome. Wish you all the best, Sabine.
How can we help you and your board? We are always interested to hear from you. If you like this podcast, if you have any comments, if you would like to see a certain topic, if you are interested in our services, if you would like to see a demo, get in touch. We are always delighted to hear from our listeners. Thank you for listening.